name is Jim Murphy, won't you buy me a whiskey? And I'll tell you how this story ends. If it's not too much trouble, won't you make it double? Cause whiskey is the only friend to a man with blood on his hands. Now the Rangers caught Sam Bass, and he died in their custody in a Round Rock jail cell.
All right, all right. Good morning, beautiful Texas. That's the great Mark David Manders kicking things off for us on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. Loved or hated, but never ignored. I'm your host, Cable Smith, and I'm thrilled to be here with you on this fine Texas morn. Thanks for tuning in to the most educational, entertaining, and conservation-minded outdoor programming on the airwaves, coming to you live each weekend in Dallas, San Antonio, and Kerrville. Of course, if you miss a show, you can check us out for free on iTunes or at my website, LoneStarOutdoorShow.com. This morning's show should be a good one, as we have four great guests joining the program. Coming up here in just a second, we'll be joined by Roy Faulkner of Texas Custom Camo and Imaging. You guys are probably aware of our Photo of the Month contest by now, where you send me your favorite outdoor photos that you've taken recently. I then add them to the website and let you guys vote on your favorite at the end of each month. Of course, monthly winners get a year subscription to Lone Star Outdoor News, their winning photo displayed on my homepage, and also custom framed by Texican. This month's winner will also experience the expertise of Ray at Texas Custom Camo and Imaging. I don't want to spoil the surprise, so I'll let Ray tell you about it here in just a second. After we check in with Ray, we'll be joined by Texas Parks and Wildlife's Whitetail Program Leader, Alan Kane. Last week, we got into drought's effects on our state's dove population. This week, we'll have Alan do the same with our whitetail herd. I have a feeling the prognosis will be a bit more bleak this time around, but we'll let Alan fill us in on what to expect for the upcoming season. But seeing as how so much of the state continues to be mired in these extreme drought conditions, I don't think things are looking too hot, no pun intended. After we talk whitetails, we'll be joined by Rob Bresnahan of Magnolite. They're a Texas-based lighting company that's been around a long time, and you probably have heard me promoting them on the show. But this morning, we'll talk a little bit about their history in the lighting industry and how they've positively impacted our military efforts over the past couple decades, and ultimately, how all that high-tech military stuff led Magnolite to become a major player in the hunting industry. So we'll talk about some of the products that many of our fellow hunters swear by when out varmint, predator, or hog hunting, and I'm looking forward to that. Also, the red snapper season along our Texas Gulf Coast is officially open. It's been open for about 2 weeks now, but there's been a lot of controversy surrounding this year's season, as it's the shortest on record. So, Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director Robin Rikers makes his return to the show to talk about the shortened season that has many, many boat captains and recreational anglers and even Governor Perry up in arms. So that should be a great listen as well. So that is what's coming up on this morning's show. Real quick, let me tell you about the Kids' Day going on this afternoon at the Cabela's in Buda. It's a chance for Cabela's to pass on the outdoor heritage to kids of all ages. 2011 Kids' Day will include several activities, including a kids' fishing pond, casting contest, pie-eating contest, and many more activities. Come by and participate with all the different groups that will be here. Hayes County Sheriff Office, among others, the Texas Wildlife Association, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, National Wild Turkey Federation, Youth Hunter Education Challenge, Ducks Unlimited, Texas Bowfisher Association, and many others. So get your kids out there. That's going on today. Starts at 10 and ends at 4 at the Buda Cabela's. And just a reminder that our Cabela's in Allen and, of course, the other Texas location in Arlington also have similar activities going on this summer. Just be sure to visit the Cabela's website to find out exactly when. Also, the Lone Star chapter of Delta Waterfowl is hosting a duck hunting extravaganza at Bunker Shores on Saturday, July 9th. It's an all-day event, and it is free, y'all. We'll be teaching kids how to blow a duck call. There'll be a duck identification session, and of course, we'll have a skeet shoot as well. It's an all-day deal. Just come and go as you please. There'll be hot dogs and chips as well. So that is July 9th at Bunker Shores Wetland Center in Seagoville. Well, moving along here, let's go ahead and talk about our June Photo of the Month prize. You know, last month we gave away a Buckeye Trail Cam. We've got great prizes every month, and we're going to keep doing that. June is no exception, and here to tell us about the June prize is our good buddy Ray Faulkner of Texas Custom Camo and Imaging. Ray, welcome to the show.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Certainly my pleasure, man. Needless to say, I'm thrilled about Texas Custom Camo and Imaging's involvement with our Photo of the Month contest. Our listeners submit photos, we put them on the website, and they vote for their favorite. And this month, Ray, you have donated the grand prize, so go ahead and tell us a little bit about what our June 2011 Photo of the Month winner will receive.
Well, first off, I'm glad to be a part of it. And man, as you said, there's just tons of great pictures. I don't know how anybody can even decide. Anyway, basically, I do like a standard bolt-action type rifle or shotgun, you know, auto, pump, whatever shotgun. Or if you have some like pistols or something, just talk to me and we'll work something out. But basically, I do just a custom camo job. And if you ever look at my website, you can see I do carbon fiber or just tons of different things, including wood grains. But can take either a new gun or one of your favorite hunting guns, or if you've just got another one that needs a facelift or something, I can fix it up and make it look new or better. You know, pretty much get you a custom gun.
Right on, Ray. And this isn't just an aesthetic thing. You know, this actually seals your gun and helps protect it from the elements.
Yeah, sure. It's waterproof. Everything that's coated is waterproof. That's why a lot of the waterfowl hunters are getting me to do their shotguns for them, because you won't ever need to oil the outside anymore. You can wipe it off with a wet rag.
Hey, that's a good enough reason for me. You know, I like to get out there and chase those ducks.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all be sure to check out the website, customcamoimaging.com. Ray not only specializes in firearms, but does some pretty sweet custom jobs on skulls and your hunting vehicle and whatever else you want to bring him.
All kinds of different skulls, do car interior stuff. I mean, all the wood grains, or if someone wants camo, you know, inside their cars or their fender flares or whatever, I can do just about any hard surface.
Right on, man. And my personal hope is that this awesome prize ends up in the hands of a lucky waterfowler out there. But hey, that's up to the listeners. They're the ones that vote on the photo of the month. Ray, we appreciate you sponsoring this month's contest, man. Thanks so much.
Well, good deal. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Thanks again, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Well, that segment proudly brought to you by the Texas Hunting Republic, the place to talk hunting and fishing in Texas. It's free to join in the discussion. Check us out at texashuntingrepublic.com. Well, we do have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Texas Parks and Wildlife Whitetail Program Leader, Alan Kane, and we'll get into drought's effect on our state's whitetail herd. You're listening to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
Southern nights. Have you ever felt a southern night? Free as a breeze, not to mention the trees, whistling tunes that you know and love so. Southern nights.
Rockport Marine is the Gulf Coast premier boat dealership, offering the finest lineup of saltwater fishing boats anywhere. Transport, Sundance Kits, Yellowfin Yachts, and Andros Boatworks. Yep, you'll find them all at Rockport Marine. An Evinrude and Yamaha authorized service center. They also do power pole, trolling motor, and electronic sales and installations. Located in Rockport's beautiful Cove Harbor, stop by or visit rockportmarine.net today. Also specializing in Evinrude outboard sales, Rockport Marine, your one-stop boating center in Rockport, Texas.
All right, y'all. Spring is here, temperatures are rising, and that means you need to be thinking about your air conditioning unit. It's time you gave Texas Air Masters a call. If it's not the best service you've ever had, it's free. They've got an A rating with the Better Business Bureau and Angie's List. Texas Air Masters offers a $19 service call anytime. They're open 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Give them a call at 210-693-7651. Or check them out at texasairmasters.com. Also, they provide free service calls for all of our servicemen and women, law enforcement, fire department, and of course, military. They're taking care of the good guys. That's right, Texas Air Masters, your air conditioning company.
Hey outdoorsmen, it's that time of year again. The wind is changing and the temps are rising. So let's put away the camo and guns and get the tackle box ready. We all know that you're familiar with Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star State. Well, they're at it again, and now they're making a real difference in the fishing apparel industry. Game Guard is bringing that same commitment to quality and technical apparel to those guys and gals on the water. The comfortable vent-back shirt is offered in 10 great colors and performs like no other. Game Guard is Texas-based, family-owned, and committed to their loyal customers. Fishermen have many choices when it comes to outdoor apparel, and Game Guard is dedicated to earning your business. So be sure to ask for Game Guard at your local hunting or fishing retailer, or go to www.gameguard.net. Game Guard, the official outdoor apparel of the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Alamo Cycleplex didn't become South Texas' number one volume dealer overnight. We did it by providing the best deals and awesome customer service for over 40 years. We carry Honda, Polaris, Suzuki, Kawasaki, and Yamaha, including units for both street and dirt. And of course, Polaris Rangers, Razors, and ATVs. No matter what you're looking for, Alamo Cycleplex will accommodate you. We even have the bad to the bone Polaris Ranger crew on sale today. Call 210-696-2000 or visit us at alamocycleplex.com.
This is Greg Biffle, driver number 16-3 in Ford Fusion, and thank you for listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
And I don't give a damn, no, I don't give a damn if you call. It's just the lightning flashing when the thunder came. Just to glorify the feeling of the pain comes a hard, hard rain.
Great new stuff there from my man Daryl Lee Rush. Hard Rain, the name of that one. And my goodness, so much of our state needs a hard rain. I tell you what, I'm Cable Smith, and you are tuned into the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. This next segment, proudly brought to you by my buddy Mark Jones and the Lone Star Series Texas Premier Bass Fishing Circuit. Be sure to check out the website at LoneStarSeries.com. Last year, they gave away a new Nissan Titan. This year, a 2011 Nitro Bass Boat. They've got serious prize money on the line at every tournament. And you can't beat those championship prizes either. Check them out, LoneStarSeries.com. Well, moving right along here, my next guest joins us for some serious whitetail talk, as much of our great state is mired in these severe drought conditions. That has a lot of us deer hunters wondering how the drought will affect our whitetail herd and ultimately the upcoming whitetail season. So it's my pleasure to welcome Texas Parks and Wildlife Whitetail Program Leader Alan Kane to the show. Alan, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here, Cable.
Thrilled to have you, Alan. And since this is our first time to talk, since you assumed the position of Whitetail Program Leader, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background as a whitetail biologist?
Wow, I've been around a little while, so lots to talk about. No, I graduated from Texas Tech with a bachelor's degree in wildlife management back in 1994. I have a master's from Texas A&M at Kingsville. And worked on bobcats and ocelots down there on that project. But in between all that, I worked in different places. I worked in Iowa for a little while on a deer hunting operation up there. I worked for several private ranches in South Texas in the Hill Country. And I got on with Parks and Wildlife Department as a biologist, a private lands biologist in the Rosenberg area in 2000. And then shortly after that, I moved over here into the South Texas Wildlife District and been here ever since. In 2009, I moved into the district leader position, which kind of supervises everybody in the South Texas Wildlife District, all the biologists down here. And then not long after that, Mitch Lockwood, the former Whitetail Deer Program Leader, moved up to the Big Game Program Director, and so I moved in to his spot. He was very good at convincing me that this is the right position to be in. So
awesome. We're certainly glad you picked up right where Mitch left off, because he certainly did a great job. Alan, the main thing I want to visit with you about is the unfortunate circumstance of this drought and how it's affecting our whitetail herd. So let's start at the beginning and talk about its impact on birth rate and fawn mortality.
Well, typically, the short answer is you see depressed fawn crops and fawn survival as a result of drought. Obviously, it's not just you know, the lack of rainfall translates into poor food resources or food availability for the adult does out there that are trying to produce the milk. There's a lack of just general ground cover to keep the fawns hidden from predators and just from the sun itself, you know, and especially when you've got a lot of folks out there that are worried about their cattle operations and they got to graze, you know, they can't just dump them all on the market. They, you know, they might have to hold on a little longer than they like to, and it puts pressure on that habitat. And as that, you know, the grass composition changes, you know, you have less cover out there. Mm-hmm. And so that definitely impacts that. And then obviously, like I said, the food resources, you know, you just don't have the forbs or the weeds that deer really relish. They're not available because they're driven by rainfall. And then you may not have the mast crops. It may be a poor acorn production year. Although this year in South Texas, I am seeing a lot of mesquite beans out there. So that's, you know, one blessing that we do have a brush species down there that does produce something during the drought.
The mesquite trees are pretty resilient.
Yes, they are. So they've been great. You know, and along with just the lack of grass cover or cover in general, you know, fawns laying out there in the open, if they don't have a lot of shade or just very little shade, the heat stress has got to play a key role in survival out there, and we just don't see it, you know. And you can look at population data over the years, and you can see, I'm sure hunters track when they see lots of big bucks out on their place, and in other years they don't, as far as those older age class type deer, and those are probably related to fawn crops and ultimately rainfall.
Okay, and just kind of segueing here into my next question, what percentage of moisture does a deer get from vegetation versus standing water? Because in a lot of areas right now, there's very little to no standing water.
That's a good question. Deer can, you know, probably most of the time get the majority of the water through the plants they eat out there. And I don't know exact percentage, but, you know, when things are green and lush, the plants are obviously full of water. And so we'll pick it up through that. And then as they digest that food and it goes through those metabolic processes, they'll pick up water that way too. But in drought conditions, obviously the vegetation's pretty poor and it's lacking a lot of that moisture in the leaves themselves, the stem tips. And so deer are going to, you know, move towards areas where there's freestanding water still available. And you see that on ranches, at least down South Texas where I've been for the last 10 years, as we have these droughts come up and you see ponds drop or whatever, you see deer kind of shift their movements to areas. And it can, in some cases, could be several miles away where they move to a permanent water source like a water trough or a larger tank. Out there, a small lake there on some of these ranches or a river bottom or something like that. You see them concentrate in those areas. So water is critical as far as, you know, digestion. And in wet years, they don't, it's not like they have to move much. They don't need to go find freestanding water all the time. But because they'll get a large percentage of their water through their diet.
So when that lush green vegetation isn't readily available, they're going to have to spend even more energy trying to find that standing water source. So taking that into consideration, what are some good management strategies for landowners, lessees, and people trying to manage their deer herd during this extended drought?
As a side note, you hear folks talk about their feeding protein or pelleted feed to deer. A lot of, and this is anecdotal information, but a lot of the landowners you talk to will say if you've got a water trough close by, the deer will go eat that protein, they go get a drink of water, they come back, and it's just, you know, I guess it's that dry feed, and so they've got to have something to help aid digestion, and so they get thirsty, and so you'll see folks trying to place feeders in areas close to water sources out there.
Right. You obviously want to have your feeder, and especially your protein, next to whatever water source you do have available, if you have one. We've covered birth rate, fawn mortality. Let's talk about adult mortality and if prolonged drought opens up the door for the possible spread of disease.
Yeah, as far as adult mortality and drought, again, it's going to be similar to fawns. You know, obviously, the fawns are getting the majority of their nutrition through the doe.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, the does, bucks out there, adult animals, they're having to make a living off the vegetation out there in the habitat. And so if it's in pretty poor condition, or maybe places overgrazed, you know, from cattle or too many deer in the place, there's just not enough resources to go around as a result of the drought and this lowered vegetation production, then those deer just don't have enough resources. And ultimately, you know, they become weak, and in some cases, they're going to starve, you know.
Uh-huh.
Or they'll shift their diet to things that are so poor in quality, such as grass or something like that, or really coarse weeds. Like, there may be some old mature ragweed out there or something. And whatever's green, they're going to try to eat on just to survive. But, you know, if they don't produce enough protein and the other requirements, nutritional requirements that the deer needs, they're not going to survive well. And then, you know, talking about disease, obviously if you get run down, if the deer's run down just from a lack of nutrition, it's having a hard time maintaining its body condition in general, it's more susceptible to disease. But also is during drought times, you see deer concentrate around feeders or other areas like that. So there is potential. So for a sick deer, for example, come in there, maybe something with you know, if you had a deer with anthrax, for example, in that area, kind of around Del Rio or Carter Valley, you hear about it occasionally over there. If you have deer in those areas that's sick and it's infected, and then it gets over there around a feeder, and all the deer are concentrated because it is dry or concentrated around a water source, it's more likely to spread those diseases quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, or, you know, another issue down in South Texas, along the borders, the fever ticks. There's some evidence that they obviously, the deer carry those fever ticks, but it's not a major parasite but that we're concerned about. But it could, you know, deer concentrated in areas could help spread that tick to other areas. So it's important to help, you know, manage your habitat and then also your distribution of your water and feeder so you don't concentrate animals in any one spot.
Very good insight there. You know, you do want to keep the animals spread out as much as possible, but that's more of a South Texas deal on a big ranch, because you know, a lot of people, you know, hunting an 80-acre lease or 200-acre patch of land, you're not going to keep the deer spread out, so that's not always an option. But if you can do it and you do have the water resources right now, then that's a great idea. Well, we do have to squeeze in a break here, but I still have a lot more to ask you, Alan. Can you stick around for another segment?
Sure, it'd be great.
Awesome. When we come back, we'll talk about the importance of supplemental feed during a drought. Also, we'll break down the effect of drought on antler growth, as well as rebound time after a serious drought. So that's all coming up next as we continue our visit with Texas Parks and Wildlife Whitetail Program Leader Alan Kane, only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
You may win this battle, baby. Don't need a war with a war. And you don't even know what it is that you're fighting for.
Alamo Cycloplex didn't become South Texas' number one volume dealer overnight. We did it by providing the best deals and awesome customer service for over 40 years. We carry Honda, Polaris, Suzuki, Kawasaki, and Yamaha, including units for both street and dirt. And of course, Polaris Rangers, Razors, and ATVs. No matter what you're looking for, Alamo Cycloplex will accommodate you. We even have the bad to the bone Polaris Ranger crew on sale today. Call 210-696-2000 or visit us at alamocycloplex.com.
Listen up, fellas. Deer season is come and gone, and it's time to start thinking about next fall's big bruisers. And there's nothing better for your whitetail herd than Pogue's Buck Buffet Spring Blend. It's a pre-inoculated blend of nutritious legumes, including mixed cowpeas, soybeans, lab, as well as Paradovic sunflower and cream grain sorghum. One bag will plant an entire acre. Visit PogueAgri.com or call 830-583-3456 today. Also, be sure to check out Pogue's Bird Buffet and Be Wild Bundle Flower. That's PogueAgri.com today.
Hey, outdoorsmen. It's that time of year again. The wind is changing and the temps are rising. So let's put away the camo and guns and get the tackle box ready. We all know that you're familiar with Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star State. Well, they're at it again, and now they're making a real difference in the fishing apparel industry. Game Guard is bringing that same commitment to quality and technical apparel to those guys and gals on the water. The comfortable vent-back shirt is offered in 10 great colors and performs like no other. Game Guard is Texas-based, family-owned, and committed to their loyal customers.
Fishermen have many choices when it comes to outdoor apparel, and GameGuard is dedicated to earning your business. So be sure to ask for GameGuard at your local hunting or fishing retailer, or go to www.gameguard.net. GameGuard, the official outdoor apparel of the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Another Texas whitetail season is in the books, but that doesn't mean it's time to put down the bow or rifle. Located in Mason County's beautiful hill country, Star S Ranch offers world-class accommodations and the finest exotic hunting in North America. Offering hunts for axes, black buck, fallow deer, and audat, Star S Ranch even has super exotics such as sable, gemsbuck, and scimitar horned oryx. Visit star-s-ranch.com or call 830-285-8753 to book your hunt today. That's 830-285-8753.
Hey, this is Kevin Van Dam, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Oh, my mama said you'll never be a rich man in heaven now, but neither will you find the guitar playing kind. When you're young, you have your fun, but then you must move on and leave them foolish dreams where they belong.
All right, one of the best acts going right now, Andrew Delaney, bringing us back from break here on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Cable Smith. Appreciate you letting me ride shotgun with you on this lovely Texas morning. This segment is proudly brought to you by Brian Moore's Texas Hunting Company. He offers guided hunts and is also a capsule game feeder dealer. Check out his website at texashuntingcompany.com. Let's pick it back up with Texas Parks and Wildlife's whitetail program leader, Alan Kane, as we are talking drought and its impact on our whitetails. Alan, obviously food plots completely out of the question in many areas of the state right now. So, you know, I got to think that supplemental feed is flying off the shelves at a record rate here in Texas.
I hadn't checked the pocketbooks of those feed dealers, but I bet they're pretty happy this time of year. There's lots of folks that are feeding and talking about it, you know, whether it's the pelleted protein feed or there's folks that feed whole cottonseed to deer, and I do well on that. So, yes, there's a tremendous amount. As you indicate, you know, food plots work well when you got water, but if you don't and you're not irrigating, they're not much help.
Yep, food plots just about an impossibility in some regions. Funny you bring up the cottonseed, though, as a supplement, because we had Dr. Kroll on a couple weeks ago, and he said it was one of the least nutritional ones out there.
That's interesting. I mean, it's... And again, I don't have all the numbers right in front of me, but it's in high in fats and oils. I think it's got a pretty decent protein, crude protein content in there. And, you know, again, anecdotally, we don't have data together, although there's some research. I think they're looking at cottonseed over here around Carrizo Springs and towards Eagle Pass and some of these areas. And some of the heaviest body weight bucks come out of those pastures with they're being fed cottonseed.
Huh.
And the deer do well on it. I mean, I know a ranch in out of Cotulla that I work with. It's I don't know how many Boone and Crockett's it's produced. He's got good habitat, but they do feed a lot of cottonseed too.
Uh huh.
I mean, they feed it to cattle. I mean,
right.
Supplement an alternative if you don't want to feed pelleted feed.
So obviously, it's beneficial to feed pelleted protein, and if you're looking for an alternative to that, cottonseed-based feeds, another good option. But let's not kid ourselves. A lot of people are looking to grow big antlers. It is Texas. Trophy hunting is very popular. How important is supplemental feed for antler growth?
That's a good question. obviously, it's important. I mean, deer, you know, I guess a couple of comments. You made one about, you know, this drought, everybody's feeding and doing well. But the guys that are really doing well out there, they're the ones, they're still feeding, but they're also keeping their deer numbers in check. And that's something people tend to forget is, you know, when it's there's drought conditions out there and they last for a year or 2 years, that's the time you need to drop your deer density down. Deer population can recover fairly quickly, you know, so it doesn't hurt if you knock it down some so that you maintain enough of the native habitat, native vegetation out there to support those deer. And then when you throw supplemental feed on top of that for those remaining deer that are out there, it helps to maintain them on kind of a stable or a level playing field, you know, given all the climatic conditions, the drought conditions out there. So it's going to maintain them in better conditions and obviously help with antler production. You know, I don't want to say that supplemental feed's a cure-all for everything. It's not. I mean, you've got to have you know, native habitat out there to support those deer populations. Can you grow deer in a parking lot or somebody's pen? Sure, that's great, but that's not, you know, wildlife management, and that's not hunting per se. You know, it's
right.
Maybe not what folks are looking for, so people have to be cautious about that. But it does play a large role in producing the quality antlers, and mainly from the standpoint of helping those deer maintain an optimum body condition. And so they're not allocating all those resources back to their, just to stay alive, you know, general body maintenance, hair growth, muscle growth, whatever, bone growth. And at that point, that's all taken care of, they can start reallocating a lot of those nutritional resources back in those antler development if they're in good shape. And so that's where you see that feed help make a big jump. And then the other thing is, you know, feed or no feed. If you look at just antler production in general, the majority of deer out there, as they age, they're going to, you know, mature buck, 5 to 6, 7 years old, average is right around 128 Boone and Crockett points to 130.
Uh-huh.
And so it's not like feed's going to make you grow a bunch of 150-point Boone and Crockett bucks out there, you know, or better. But it does help, you know, gives them that little added, might help with survival.
Alan, you said something very interesting there. You brought up rebound time, which was actually my next question. After an extended period of drought, how long do you expect it to take for your deer herd to recover to the numbers they were at pre-drought?
You know, it just depends on how severe and how long the drought will last. You know, if you're, for example, if you have a poor fawn crop 1 year, say this coming fall we have very low fawn crops, 10-15%. So obviously your production in there, your population is either going to maintain where it's at, especially if you harvest some or you harvest additional animals, you might get it down below what your target density is. But if we have a great start in December, it rains, and it rains all the way through next September, those fawn or the does are going to be in good shape coming at the end of rut, maintained through the winter in good condition. They're going to produce fawns, have enough milk, and so a lot of them may have twins then, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so they're going to recover quickly, have a high fawn crop, but potentially the year after that too. The other thing is that you see in good year, really wet years, you'll see a percentage of doe fawns being bred late in the year, like late January, February, even early March. And so it's just a good sign your conditions are in great shape if those doe fawns are breeding. Obviously, they're getting to that age and critical body mass, but they have to have the resources to be able to get them there quickly. And so, you know, within 1 to 2 years, your population is going to bounce back fairly quickly.
Well, Alan, it's been very informative this morning. I do have some more stuff to ask you, but unfortunately, we're out of time, buddy. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it, and I look forward to our next chat.
Well, I'm glad to visit with you, Cable. I hope everybody out there is praying for rain. We need some.
No doubt about it, man. Let's touch base again before bow season.
Okay, that sounds great. Anytime.
Well, there he goes, Texas Parks and Wildlife's Whitetail Program Leader, Alan Kane. Really enjoyed that interview. Very informative. And I really enjoyed talking to all of our Texas Parks and Wildlife program leaders. We do have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk hunting lights for predators, varmints, and hogs. We'll do so with Magnolite's Rob Bresnahan. That's coming up next, only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
All I know is you've always been in the same.
Prusky's Meat Market and Wild Game Processing is South Texas' premier wild game processor, USDA inspected and approved. They offer choice and certified Angus beef steaks, custom cut however you want. Prusky's also has fresh MSG and nitrate-free sausage, custom smoked hams, ham bacon, and bacon. Visit www.pruskysmarket.com or call 210-649-2151. Prusky's, from our smokehouse to your house. Quality you remember with the service you deserve.
A place to shoot is South Texas's premier shooting facility. We have a complete rifle range featuring 5 different distances out to 300 yards. A pistol range with gravity-fed targets, skeet, trap, crazy quail, and country doubles. We offer everything for the shooting sportsman. New and used firearms, reloading supplies, scopes, and ammo. If we don't have it, we can usually get it within 2 days. Also offering CHL classes, located just outside Loop 410 on Morrison Boulevard in South San Antonio. Call 210-628-1888. A place to shoot, open 7 days a week. Call 210-628-1888. Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Good morning, Texas anglers. Captain Len's Fishing Guide Service here. I'd love nothing more than to take you on a trophy trout, redfish, and flounder trip. I live on North Padre Island, where the Laguna Madre is my backyard. I have honey holes from Port Aransas past Baffin Bay to the Lamb Cut. Fish with comfort from my 2010 Blue Wave Pure Bay boat. I provide the bait and tackle, clean and bag your catch, and guarantee you'll have fun and catch fish. The Best Western Grand Marina and Corpus Christi Beach Hotels even offer special rates if you're fishing with Captain Len. So call me at 361-563-9806 or visit Captain Len's Fishing. That's Captain spelled out L-E-N-S fishing.com. See you at the dock.
My first rifle was a 243. Papa gave Daddy and Daddy gave to me. And they taught me how to shoot with a steady hand. I guess that's something you don't understand. Now I grew up on a prison farm, sneaking pulled a child from a mason jar. Used to go fishing out Pickle Creek.
Cable Smith, welcoming you back to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. Some great music out of East Texas there. That's Whiskey Myers and Ballad of a Southern Man's the name of that one. This segment proudly brought to you by Howa Rifles, the official rifle of the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. I've got a 270, a 22-250, and a 30-06, and I guarantee you, you won't find a better rifle for the money. That's for dang sure. Well, let's get into a little after dark hunting talk here, and whether you're after predators, varmints, or hogs, a good lighting rig is as important as an accurate rifle. And here to talk lighting with us is Magnolite's Rob Bresnahan. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Pleasure is all mine, my friend. Rob, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about the history behind Magnolite?
This company's been around since the late 60s. You know, we've been producing lighting products for the utility and military space for, more than 40 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It started out with, we were actually the first company to combine the concept of using the cigarette plug with a lighting product. Obviously, it's very common now, but back in the day, the cigarette socket was pretty much just for lighting cigarettes.
Right.
But working together with Safeco, they came up with a design for a plug, and we came up with a design for a light that used the power from that plug, and we're pretty dominant in the whole utility sector, just due to the durability of the product and a lot of the custom solutions we were able to provide with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in time, we've kind of, during the, when the Iraq war started, we were the Magnolite handheld light, the 24-volt version was distributed to every deployed soldier in theater. So today, if anybody was deployed to Afghanistan or Iraq, they have a Magnolite. They actually have four of them as part of a kit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty popular as a gunner's light. We also, on the commercial industrial side, we have a whole range of explosion-proof lighting for hazardous locations, you know, ranging from, you know, large tower systems all the way down to portable systems and tank inspection lights.
Right.
So we have a pretty comprehensive selection of durable lighting for outdoor, marine, and industrial applications.
Well, it's certainly awesome that y'all have been involved with the military for four decades now, but there's two other things that I absolutely love about Magnolite. Number one, it's Texas-based, and 10 times out of 10, my money's going to stay in Texas if given the option. And number two, you've got everything I could ever need as far as outdoor lighting is concerned. Hunting, fishing, boating, you've got it all covered.
Yeah, it's true. We have all the way from vehicle mount to remote control to handheld, you know, and some of our most popular products are the HL85 series, which is popular with your predator hunters, depending on what part of the country you're in and how close the predators are. We've got an HL85, which is a really common handheld halogen light. It's unique because it's lightweight, 13 ounces, but it also allows you to adjust from spot to flood on the fly by simply twisting the lens. For folks that want more range, we have the HID version of that, the HL85 HID, which is probably our most popular coyote hunting light. and that has a range of over 3,000 feet, and also offers the ability to adjust from spot to flood. And a lot of the team hunts folks that are going out and competitively hunting the dogs are use that light exclusively. So I mean, we're not sponsoring them or anything like that. They've just chosen that light, and it works well for them. So mostly because it's lightweight, it's durable, and it gives them that flexibility to be able to adjust the beam. So we've done well with that. And then on the vehicle mount side, we have a whole line of both camouflage and...
Rob, I hate to cut you off here, but you know, for people that know spotlights, candle power is a big deal. And we're talking about 15 million candle power with that HID unit.
On the HID model, you know, obviously most of your HID stuff is measured in lumens, you know, and that's a 3,200 lumen output light. You know, that's roughly comparable to, you know, what we call retail candle power of 15 million. You know, that's what gives you your range. You know, candle power is kind of a formula that's really manufacturer specific. It's not really an industry standard, but you know, we get a lot of repeat business on that piece, and a lot of people that see it in action will go and buy it for themselves. It's our most popular hunting light that we've ever produced.
Mm-hmm.
So and it does put out a ton of light.
It is pretty impressive, man. I tell you what, sorry, didn't mean to cut you off there. If you want to jump back into the vehicle mounts as well.
Yeah, you know what, the other popular product that we have that we're known for is that we were the ones that put the HID or the real power inside the remote control lighting products. You know, we have both ones that are hardwired where you have a controller that hangs off a wire, and we've got the wireless ones, which are the more popular ones where, you know, guys that are out, especially, you know, all your varmints and particularly in Texas, the hogs, you know, we get a ton of people using this for the hog hunting. They want their hands free, be able to move the vehicle, move the light around, and not have to hold the light, but basically mount it on the vehicle and use a remote to control the beam.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially when there's more than one of them in a group, that's a pretty effective hunting tool. You know, when we make a strong, you know, 200-pound grip magnet mount model, they can be mounted right up on top of the vehicle. You plug it into the cigarette plug and use your handheld remote to control it from, you know, more than 100 feet away. Cool. You've got an opportunity to use the light, track the prey, and also light up the area once you've done that, so mm-hmm. that you can you know, process the hunt.
And I haven't actually seen this in action yet, but when I think about it, I'm always thinking, man, just, you know, kind of creep up next to the feeder once all the hogs are right there or in an open field, and just flip that switch on, and oh my God, just go to town on them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, especially in Texas, where the hogs seem particularly out of control.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's been a real popular hog hunting solution. So we've got an LED version, an HID, and an halogen version of that now, depending on the range. You know, your halogens will go out about 800 feet, your HIDs will go out almost a mile, and the LEDs are, you know, ultra durable and give you about a 1,000-foot range. So we've got options in there. And then, you know, for the super high power guys, the guys are basically going to light up the whole field. We've got our big LED LB series lights that we do both, and what's been real popular in the hunting world this year anyway, or last 2 years, is really the infrared. You know, with just a lot of the night vision goggles have come down in price, and people are able to get night vision equipment, purchase the infrared lights, and we've got, as far as we know anyway, we got some of the highest power output LED emitters that are vehicle mount that are available. You know, we built them for the military, but we've seen a huge uptake in them in the hunting world. And, you know, guys are going out there and basically producing no visible light whatsoever using their night gear, and they're able to, you know, move around and do what they need to do for all the varmint control. And, you know, they're not giving any indications that they're coming because there's no visible light whatsoever.
So, mm-hmm.
And they can see like it's daylight out there. So those have been, yeah, we've got that for a vehicle mount. We've got that in the remote control. And now we've even got a portable handheld pistol grip style with a 15-hour runtime. That has been, well, we built it for the military, but the uptake on the outdoor sportsman side has been substantial.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just didn't realize how pervasive the night vision equipment's become, but it's really come down in price, and a lot of guys are using it. It's effective. So,
well, having a good spotlight in Texas is invaluable if you're going to attempt to keep the hog population down on your property.
And there are a lot of people who have a lot of money tied up in their property, and they're looking to protect it. And there just seems to be, especially this year, seems to be just an excessive problem with hogs, and it's actually turning into a real money issue. You know, when you're losing property and or livestock, it's not an insignificant cost anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to spend all night working protecting that property, protecting that investment. You know, we've got some tools that'll last, that are durable, and give them a wide range of options of how they can illuminate the area to do what they need to do. So, you know, when we get some of these ranches are pretty substantial, and they got a lot of people doing that kind of work. So,
oh, no doubt, man. And once again, we're visiting with Rob Bresnahan of Magnolite, a Texas-based lighting company that's been around for 40 years now. You guys seem to have branched out into the boating industry as well, offering LED lights for just about every marine application out there as well.
Yeah, that is correct. We've got, you know, most of the LEDs that we design to a mil spec. And, you know, a lot of the work that we do with the Navy, et cetera, we've ended up building some fairly substantial pieces that are both LED, mostly LED these days for Navy, et cetera. And we've come out with a line of boat lights. And most of the stuff that we do, most of the stuff that we focus on is on forward projection of light. So we spend a lot of time, money, and engineering dollars trying to figure out a way to capture the power of the LED and project it forward. You know, LEDs have long been known to do a really good job on, you know, minimizing the amp draw, you know, so you can maximize battery life. But, you know, a lot of times the forward projection or the, you know, the concept of a spot has been difficult to come by. But over the last 4 or 5 years, we put most of our time and energy into doing just that, designing optics and configurations that will drive the light forward. And that has turned out to be really effective, especially in the commercial fishing space. I mean, we have a pretty dominant, you know, especially up and down the east and the west, northeast and northwest coast, all the way up through Canada, where, you know, these guys are basically only get a month and a half to make the money they need for the whole year. They need something that'll go out a mile, pick up the buoy tapes, etc. But figuring out the solutions for those guys, we really figured out how to make lights waterproof, durable, and have good punch power. And we've got a whole line now that has a whole range of prices going all the way up from what the, you know, the big 600 watts that the commercial guys use all the way down to, you know, 12 and 20 watt solutions that are pretty common, you know, down in the Gulf and in the lakes around the state. And, you know, for guys that are bow fishing or gigging or whatever, we're pretty much figured out over time which lights are the best fit for the different applications. And, you know, for guys that are bow fishing, we say, yeah, this is the, you know, the LED LB4 is the right light. Just mount it, you know, 18 inches off the water and you'll get the penetration you need. We've got lights that are designed to actually go underwater that can go down, you know, quite a ways that people are mounting on poles that we offer in both green and white, so that they can actually drop down there to see what they're doing. But I think over time we've figured out which lights are the right lights for the different fishing and applications that different folks are doing around the country, including Texas, and, you know, right down to, you know, whether it's freshwater, saltwater, you know, even certain lakes. You know, some lakes are just so dirty there's nothing you can do to penetrate them, and others are, you know, if you use the right color light, you can get the penetration you require. So it's we've learned quite a bit over the last 3 or 4 years.
Right, 3 or 4 years and 40 years before that. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show. We're proud to have Magnolite here in our home state, the premier outdoor lighting manufacturer for any application, whether it's hunting or fishing. It's really been a lighting 101 course this morning, and I really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
Well, that wraps up today's outdoor lighting talk. I hope you all found that at least somewhat educational. I know I did. We do have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Texas Coastal Fisheries Director Robin Rikers as we get into a little red snapper talk. That's coming up next, only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
So if there's a voice and a reason, bless me with your intuition. I don't know how much longer I can hold on. Her eyes are my heart as she leaves me.
Hey, Texas anglers, Cable Smith here to tell you about my friends at UnderwaterFishLight.com. When Texas A&M University needed a reliable way to attract fish for their studies, you guessed it, they called Underwater Fishlight. Not only do they build the world's highest quality underwater lighting systems, but they actually guarantee the fish in writing. Everyone knows there is no guarantee in fishing, but this is the exception to the rule. Their HID technology works so well that fish are guaranteed in fresh and salt water or your money back. Save 10 bucks when you enter in the promo code LONESTAR at checkout. Call 1-855-FISHLIGHT or visit UnderwaterFishLight.com. Listen up, ticketheads. When you harvest that Walworthy trophy, there's only one choice, Rustic Reminders Taxidermy. My friends Josh and Becky have over 19 years combined experience in taxidermy and reproduction mounts. Whether you take down a 200-class whitetail, an African rhino, or a trophy largemouth, Rustic Reminders does it all, producing top-quality mounts while maintaining focus on quick turnaround time. Located between San Antonio and New Braunfels, call Rustic Reminders at 210-317-7292 or visit www.gr8mounts.com. That's gr8mounts.com. There's a Texas-sized buzz rippling through the fishing industry as Brass and Blades lures have taken center stage. State-of-the-art engineering offers a unique double hook, custom blade, exclusive anti-roll bend design, and even a semi-flex hook joint that bends with the movement of the fish. Brass and Blades boasts the premier lead-free buzz and chatter baits on the market. Check out Brass and Blades lures at www.brassandblades.com. Made for real fishermen by real fishermen. It's the bait with twice the bite. Visit brassandblades.com and see for yourself today. A Place to Shoot is South Texas's premier shooting facility. We have a complete rifle range featuring five different distances out to 300 yards. A pistol range with gravity-fed targets, skeet, trap, crazy quail, and country doubles. We offer everything for the shooting sportsman. New and used firearms, reloading supplies, scopes, and ammo. If we don't have it, we can usually get it within 2 days. Also offering CHL classes. Located just outside Loop 410 on Morrison Boulevard in South San Antonio. Call 210-628-1888. A Place to Shoot, open 7 days a week. Call 210-628-1888.
Located on 12,500 acres in South Texas's Sutton County, McPherson 4M Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Owner and operator Sandy McPherson takes pride in running a family-owned and operated ranch that caters towards each hunter's needs. Trophy whitetails roam the ranch's beautiful hill country terrain, and axis, fallow, and black buck hunts are also available. Outstanding lodging and accommodations are also part of the experience at McPherson 4M Ranch. Call 210-822-2915. That's 210-822-2915, or visit McPherson4MRanch.com today.
Hey, this is Josh Abbott, and you're listening to Lone Star Outdoor Show.
It's cattle guns and no barbed wire, shooting birds in the fall, laying in the truck bed with my girl. Oh, yeah.
It's the smell of mesquite campfire and shooting makers with the boys and thanking God for giving me this world.
Take me to an all-star tank
of the devil's river bank.
That fishing.
All right, good morning, Texas. Cable Smith welcoming you back to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. Getting a little help there from a couple of our good buddies, Josh Abbott and Roger Kreger. End of a Dirt Road's the name of that one. I hope that y'all have all enjoyed this show so far this morning. And I do have one more guest waiting patiently on the line as we are set to talk some offshore fishing. Specifically, we're going to talk about my favorite quarry, the red snapper. Hands down, bar none, the best eating fish on the planet, in my opinion anyway. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the program Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director Robin Rikers.
Thank you, Crabe. I'm glad to be here.
It's always nice to visit with you, Robin, and get the lowdown on our wonderful fishing resource along the Texas coast. I know that you've been extremely busy lately as you were in Florida for the Gulf of Mexico Fishery Management Council meeting last week. And I know that the red snapper season is something that was a hot topic at the meeting.
We had several big topics on the agenda. Probably the one that relates to Texas as much as any other was adding back some additional poundage for red snapper into this year's quota based on some underages or quota that wasn't caught last year. So that's a pretty important thing. We actually voted to add back around 345,000 pounds, which will either help us in buffering our quota during the regular season this year or might even offer up some days in the fall again.
Well, that is great news for the offshore angler. I know that Governor Perry, as well as the governors of Louisiana and Florida, had written letters to the council requesting a larger quota, so 345,000 more pounds. That's awesome.
Yep, that's what it came out to. You know, we had to run that back through our science advisory boards, and we were about 1 million pounds under. But when they look at it and they consider the stock and where it is at this point in time in that rebuilding schedule, they basically came back with an allowance of 345,000 pounds. And it was voted to send that all to the recreational fishery. So, again, it'll either buffer and make sure we stay within our goals and rebuilding targets in the current season that is scheduled, or if there's when we review it in August and there's some days that we can still use, we may be looking at a couple more days in the fall sometime.
Well, that is fantastic news for the recreational angler, but there is something regarding the red snapper season that has a lot of anglers up in arms, and that is the fact that it's the shortest red snapper season ever on record since season dates were put in place on these fish. So, if you would, talk about the logic behind that decision.
Well, you know, as this fishery's rebuilding and has rebuilt in many respects or continues to rebuild, one of the things we're seeing is that average size of catch continue to go up. In 2007, it was about 3 or 3.5 pounds. In 2010, that recreational fish caught was about 5.5 pounds. And wow. We expect the size of that fish to keep going up for a while. And so when they do those projections, they basically account for that growth in the size of the fish, as well as they're trying to account for, and it seems as if as people, this fishery's rebuilt, the average person fishing per day is catching more fish, or they're targeting red snapper more, and so per day there's more fish caught on any given day that the season's open as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that all leads to more poundage being captured quicker, and thus the days are reduced.
And just to piggyback on what you said, you know, there are bigger fish being brought back to the dock on average. So to me, that says that the 2 fish per person per day limit is working.
Everything is working. You know, it's unfortunate that as you sense it's getting better, your days are being reduced. But in actuality, everything is absolutely working just the way the rebuilding and the rebuilding schedule would tell you it's supposed to work right now.
Well, Robin, as someone who makes it to Port Aransas to go offshore fishing about once a summer, and actually I'm leaving as soon as the show's over, I'm hopping in the truck and heading southbound. But I tell you what, with each passing trip, the fish get bigger and we're catching more of them.
Well, it's certainly anecdotally that some of the captains I were with last week, in fact, from Texas that were over there at the Gulf Council meeting are suggesting that the projection on the fish weight this year may be an under projection, that the fish they've caught early in the season are big fish.
Well, it all points to you guys doing a great job restoring that red snapper fishery. Let's talk about 2 other things here before I let you off the hook. No pun intended. Spotted sea trout and flounder, always hot topics along the Texas coast. How are those fisheries looking right now?
Well, we've seen, much as we projected with spotted sea trout, I think we're starting to see some of those strong year classes get into the fishery, you know, get into those recreational catches. And so, you know, we're going to review that data again this summer, as we always do in our annual cycle, and take a look at it. But we think some of the things we suggested were going to happen last year, we're seeing some of that right now in our gill nets, and I suspect the fishery's feeling it out there as well and catching some good fish. Flounder the same way. We're in the third year of that rebuilding that we talked about, and where we would see most of the results from the rules after 3 years. We believe we've seen some of those. We've certainly seen it in greater distribution of flounder in our sampling that we do, and that's an important and good sign for us. But you know, we're going to review it again as we do in the summer before we come forward with our annual cycle of changes and make sure that those rules are doing what they need to be doing.
Well, I know myself, along with every other saltwater angler out there in our great state, appreciate the heck out of what y'all are doing at the Coastal Fisheries Division. Robin, don't work too hard now. You get out there and take a couple days to wet a line yourself, man.
Well, I hope to, and I certainly appreciate you having me on, Cable.
Always a pleasure. We will talk to you soon, sir.
All righty. Thank you.
Well, there he goes, our Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director, Robin Rikers. Heck of a guy. Thanks to our other guests this morning, Rob Bresnahan of Magnolite, Ray Faulkner of Texas Custom Camo and Imaging, and of course, our Texas Parks and Wildlife Whitetail Program Leader, Alan Kane. Coming up next week, Lake Fork Bassing with Heath Hardwick. Also, I'll be fishing with Captain Lynn Girard while I'm in Port Aransas this weekend. So he'll join the program. We'll break down how our trip went, hopefully get after the trout and redfish. That's my hope anyway. We'll also visit with the new regional director of Delta Waterfowl, Travis Sheridan. All that's coming up next week. Thanks to our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
I've been to Arizona, seen the Sonoran sky. It was beautiful, but it wasn't looking in your eyes. You say, won't you come home to me in Texas? I got a new dress I can't wear.